that was good, by the way. This must be an old one. There you go. Awesome. Hey, how are you guys doing? Good? Yeah. Hey, I'm glad you're here. It's opening weekend, so I know that we got a lot of guys that are out hunting and hoping to get something. Some of them already got several things, and they're hoping to get more. I don't know what the deal is with that, but anyways, I'm glad that you guys are here, and we are going to dig into this, and then we have some refreshments and some stuff afterwards, some sliders, and so I hope you stick around and talk, and we're gonna have a good time. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll jump in. Father God, we just come before you right now. We thank you for all that you do and how you work in our hearts and our lives. And Father, I just ask that as we go through tonight, as we talk about the different aspects of our life and our hunger and our desire for you, that Father, that you would increase that. That, Lord, that there would be a place inside of us that is only filled by you, and that we would long and desperately desire to have you fill that. And that, Lord, that you would just lead us through your conversation, lead us through your scripture, that your spirit would speak to us. Father, direct us in our next steps, and we give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I am the youngest of four brothers, and I don't have a lot of childhood memories, and I've often thought maybe I have some mental issues about remembering things, and then I realized I am the youngest of four brothers, so I think I just suppress them. I just keep them down and don't deal with them. But I've noticed there's some things about growing up as the youngest of four brothers that that have resonated in my life, and one of them is I have food issues. You see, there's this problem that I have. It's kind of a scarcity idea that when food is out there and there's other men around, it's going to disappear. And so I have this issue that I always like, you know, I don't know, I have food issues. That's what it really boils down to, it's food issues. And so like, you know, when Andrew, our adopted son, would come over and all that bit, if I didn't get up and get food first, I would just have this anxiety inside me that it was going to, you know, there wasn't going to be enough. And I think it started back when I was a kid, because I remember going to Pizza Hut, and we'd sit down. At Pizza Hut's been around a long time. We'd go down and you'd sit down at Pizza Hut, and my, you know, my old, two older brothers, they would get a pizza each pretty much because they were football players, and to be honest, this is one thing you probably don't realize, is I'm kind of the runt of the family. All my brothers are bigger than me, and so I just kind of grew up like, you know, boy, if you didn't grab it and grab it fast, it was going to disappear. Any of you guys have this issue? I'm the only one?
No.
Seriously? Okay, there's a couple others, if we're honest. Food issues. Being hungry is an interesting thing, because there's a part of us that you want to be hungry in order to be healthy. You don't want to always be satisfied. And yet the reality is that food is one of those things where it is what sustains us and holds on to us. And here I am the youngest of four brothers, and I have these food issues. Then I think about Jesus, and he's hanging out with 12 guys. Now, give that a thought for a moment. Here's Jesus hanging out with 12 guys. I want to read some scripture to you here. John chapter 4. Look at verse 24. Many of you guys have heard this scripture before, but just think about it this way. Just then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman, this Jesus talking with a woman. But no one asked him, "What do you want?" Or "What are you talking?" Or "Talking with her?" Or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciple urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," Jesus said, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Don't you have a saying, "It's still 4 months until harvest"? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, "One sows, another reaps," is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Have you ever gotten so involved in something that you forget to eat? Yeah, right? I think that happens to us quite often. We get so involved in something, we got a project happening, we're working on something, we're on the computer, whatever it is, you get so involved in doing something that the whole day goes by and all of a sudden you realize that you haven't eaten. And it's not that big of a deal. Because whatever project you were in or whatever you were doing has captivated you so much that you don't think about food. This is what is happening with Christ. The moment of being able to be at the situation, this is the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, where he's talking to this gal and they're having this conversation about the Messiah and so forth, and he reveals himself to the Samaritans, which is huge. Because there's this huge separation between the Jews and the Samaritans. There's this huge struggle going on between Jerusalem and Samaria, because when the nations divided and there's 10 tribes that were down in Jerusalem, and then two tribes down in Jerusalem and the other 10 tribes, and the other 10 tribes were worshiping at Samaria and had created their own altar and all this stuff. And is one of the reasons why God came in and destroyed them and dispersed them, where Jerusalem was God's chosen city. And I'm giving you all this history because there is this rivalry for hundreds of years, literally hundreds of years, between Samaria and Jerusalem. The Jews, at all costs, try to avoid Samaria. And yet, here's Jesus, not only talking to a Samaritan, but talking to a woman, which culturally was not acceptable. And not only to a woman, but a woman that didn't really fit in with her social status. And so she was out there at an obscure time drawing water so that she wouldn't be around the rest of the women in town. And he meets her there and has this conversation. And he goes back and forth about who he is and what he can do and who she is. He has this incredible moment. And we've heard this story so many times, sometimes we don't recognize just how crazy of an impact and how crazy the story really is. I mean, he is breaking all social standards. He is stepping into the need and the heart of somebody very precious and dear. And the excitement of that moment of doing what God has for him has brought him to this place of being satisfied. They stopped there because they were hungry. The disciples went into town to buy food because Jesus was going to sit for a while. So the whole idea that they're there is to eat. And yet, that's not what satisfies Christ. It's actually doing God's will, being able to be in the midst of it. We've been doing this series of seasons, different seasons of our life. We talked about all sorts of things where we've gone through seasons of doubt or seasons of health, and we've talked about the seasons that happen in our life spiritually. What we're talking about tonight is that hunger, a season of hunger, the desire, the thirst, the just wanting to be in the presence of God, or wanting the presence of God in us. Being able to be surrounded by his love and by what he does. Being able to see him in this passion that we have to be around whatever God is doing and accomplishing. This, I think, is one of the most awesome seasons of life. To be able to truly hunger for God and what God is doing. Sometimes, though, it doesn't come like this. And this is kind of a sweet moment here where Jesus is revealing himself, and And in the midst of this whole revealing himself, he is excited about what the Spirit is doing and what God is doing, and he's doing his Father's work. And so there's this moment of excitement because things are being accomplished. Sometimes this hunger that we have comes because of other reasons, such as this. This is a hunger that David had over in Psalms 42. Psalms 42, and once again, there's parts of this that you'll probably be familiar with. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God, when I can go and meet with God. My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festival throne. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disheartened within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. This is another side of where we get to a place where we're so in need of God's presence in our life. We hunger for his presence because we know the sweetness of it, and yet our surroundings are far from that. Where there's pain, where there's sorrow, where there's heartache, where others are against us, and it's yet this place where it's like, if only I could rise above this muck and be in the presence of God. Still, the hunger is sweet. Because for a lot of times, I think when we get in the muck and all this stuff is happening around us, there's a lot of us, instead of just hungering for God, we just want God to fix our muck. We go, just fix this situation. I don't understand why you're not doing something about this situation. And we almost get a little frustrated, a little angry with God because he's not changing our situation. I think it's one of the reasons why Scripture talks about God loving David so much. Because he loved his heart. He saw his heart. And his heart was one that even in the situation where everything goes wrong, and if you look at the story of David, it's a crazy story. Here's this young guy who's anointed as a king, even though there's already a king reigning. If you guys know your history in any civilization, that's kind of a death sentence. And he's anointed as king, and yet he serves underneath this king faithfully, will not touch him, comes to a place, walks in incredible faith, and yet lives a huge chunk of his life on the run. Living in caves, not seeing this fulfillment happen, but yet all the time praising God for it. Knowing that God will be faithful and God will take care of and God will do incredible things. And ultimately, we know King David, he finally comes through all that stuff. But in the midst of it, his heart is always to praise God. His heart is always to raise and to look for him. Even in the midst of this one here where he talks about how his heart pants for the streams of water, just like his soul pants for the Lord. And yet he finishes this whole thing talking about, why am I downcast? Why am I so frustrated? Why am I so upset? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. He's convincing himself, all this stuff is miserable, and yet why am I being miserable? I want the presence of God. I hunger for the presence of God. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this message is going to be very foreign to you. Because to be honest, there's a place that this hunger only comes from a relationship. There's a truth that in reality, you can't miss what you don't know. If you're thinking about what I'm talking about now, and if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but this hunger kind of eludes you, and in all honesty, it's because you haven't grown in a place of your relationship truly being dependent on God yet. See, there's something about in our walk with Christ that when we walk with him and we trust in him and we believe in him and we step out in faith and we walk in those places that he wants us to walk, you will have experiences where the glory of God shines in your life, the peace that surpasses understanding, where there are moments of just unbelievable comfort. We're to be able to look at his creation and tears swell up in your eyes because you know that his love is so immense for you, and yet he is the creator of the universe and he loves you totally and completely, and he created it for you. To be able to be in a worship service and not just think about the music and how well it's tuned or whatever that, but to be in the presence of God and to worship him for who he is. There are moments in our Christian walk, to be honest, that are bliss. There are moments where I would love to live my life because it is so sweet and it is so comforting and it is so overwhelming as far as peace and just knowing that I am loved and I am His. And when you experience those things, to be honest, there begins to build this hunger, this desire deep inside, that when you're not in it, you crave it. When you're not in it, you long for it because it is so satisfying to be able to be where God has created you to be. I hope that many of you have experienced that. That is my hope. My hope is that all of you come to a place where you experience it and you all have this hunger inside of you that longs to be in the presence of God. Regardless of all the stuff around that you want to hear his voice, that you want to see him at work, that it's not just about taking care of your needs, it's being in his presence. To see him satisfy and hold you and know that you are his. That your hope is secure in a future because it will be in the presence of God. That is the sweetness of the relationship. And it only comes by a deep relationship. We long and we fight for those things, being able to be in the midst of it. To be honest, if you think about it, when you talk about fasting, a lot of times fasting is somewhat of a mystery to believers, but the reality of it is there's this place where we come and we say, you know, this that sustains me, because usually fasting is food, this that sustains me, this is what nourishes me, this is what takes care of me, this is, sometimes it even brings entertainment to me, this that takes care of me. To be honest, I have this prayer request, I have this desire to be in your presence more than that. And so we fast and we put those things aside and we say, God, your presence and your answer to this prayer request is more important to me than food. And that's the whole idea behind fasting, is being able to do that. The reality is the heart of worship comes from our hunger to be in God's presence. If you don't desire to be in God's presence, then be honest, worship is kind of a weird entertainment, you know? I mean, there was the day, and I'm not this old because I don't remember it, but there was a day, you know, when you go to the movie theaters and there's the lyrics would pop up there and the little ball would bounce and everybody in the audience apparently would sing. I've heard of this, but I haven't seen it. And I think about that and I go, that would be weird. I go into a movie theater, you know, and here pops up Terminator 3 and everybody starts singing. I wouldn't get it. That was a joke. It's okay. I mean, our culture's kind of changed. We don't necessarily sing like that. You know, sometimes at a concert, and I think sometimes when we come into worship, we kind of think that church should be a concert. It's entertainment. Am I really with this song or not? But that's not what worship is. Worship, at the heart of worship, comes from this hunger. This desire to see God move, this desire to be in his presence, to be able to allow him to truly do what he needs to do in our hearts. Sometimes we have a hunger to see God move for justice. We look around and we see things around our world that we don't like very much. There's injustice that happens, people that we know that are hurt, people that are going through frustrations, through sickness, through whatever's happening in society. And we can get an intense hunger for God to move for justice and be able to put an end to the evil. Sometimes our hunger comes from a place of just needing rest and peace. We long for this place where we can just be by still waters and know it's okay. That we're tired and weary, and we just need God to speak to our hearts, and we hunger and long for that. Sometimes this hunger is to see the heavens move, to be able to truly want His kingdom to come, to be able to see God step in and do incredible things again, that people would be able to look at it and go, oh, God's doing something there, that He would make Himself evident and help us all. Sometimes that hunger is just an overwhelming desire to be in His presence. Either way, we have to work through these things. We need to come to a place to recognize what it is that God is doing and recognize, do I even crave His presence? Like I say, sometimes we can get so wrapped up into things that we forget about food. Sometimes I think we can get so wrapped up in our daily grind of life, we stop hungering for God. He's not in our perspective. He's really not even on our radar, because I need to take care of this and I need to take care of this. And we move into all these things that we have to do or achieve, and we make ourselves so busy. To be honest, I think it's one of the toughest things that we have in our society, as we are all so busy. And what's crazy about it is we're so busy that even when we're not and we are by ourselves, we have to have some kind of noise because we can't handle the silence. And I think what we're doing is we're drowning out that desire, that hunger that's inside of us. Matthew chapter 6. Look down here at verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, the non-believers, run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Very familiar verse once again, but here's the reality. I think this is the heart that begins to hunger and desire. When we take our focus off of all this other stuff and we begin to look and pursue His presence. And what's crazy about it is the scripture tells us that when we pursue His presence, that's actually when we please Him. Because we must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those that eagerly seek Him. That eagerly seek Him is our desire to be in His presence, to see Him do things. And so our faith is activated by us seeking the kingdom, by seeking what He's doing. So when we begin to seek what He's doing, Jesus gives us a promise right here. He'll take care of all the rest. That's really hard for us. We've always tried to be in control. If you think about it, it's the fall in the garden. To become like God, to be in control of my life, to be able to be the one that dictates what's good and bad. And we step into this place of being in control, and we constantly have this desire, it's a sin nature, to be in control. If I don't do it, it won't happen. There's a place of being diligent for what God tells us to be diligent in. But when we set our own parameters and say, I'm going to seek after this and I got to achieve this and I got to do all that stuff, what we do is we begin to not seek the kingdom. We begin to seek, like everybody else, what to eat, what to dress with, all these things, the basics of life. It is really hard for us to overcome it and get to a place of going, no, what I need most of all is the presence of God in my life, to see Him work and do incredible things. It's been about 5 years now that God put an incredible hunger on my heart. And that was to see something happen in Missoula. To see something happen in Missoula where there would be an established, healthy church. We have some very good churches all around us. But I wanted to see a church happen and established in Missoula that actually didn't just reach people, but it actually discipled people. And not only discipled people, but it trained people and got them ready, and then it also sent people. The reality is there is a process that happens in our Christian life. And we go from babes to adults, hopefully, and in the midst of that, we're supposed to be making disciples. We're supposed to be reaching people, and we're supposed to be training them what God has taught us to do and how to live our life, and so that we would become mature. And when we would become mature, that we would step into the things that God has for us, that He's prepared good works for us to do in advance, that He has readied us, that we won't become mature until we do our part in the body, that we would be trained in those things, and that the church would send, because that's what the church does, is send, not just gather. I have this desire to see a healthy church that does those four things, that works towards those four things in this community and changes the spiritual outcome of Missoula. For so long, we have looked at church through this Christian lens of going to church and what can I get out of it. I want to see a body. The true church is the gathering of people. As the gathering of people come in, being able to go, how do we seek the presence of God? How do we have a hunger to see God's work done and to live in the midst of where He's doing incredible things? To be able to see Him save lives that are broken, to be able to come and understand Him and have His presence in us, that we would know Him greater and deeper. That we would walk in the midst of that as we step into, in faith, what it is that He's created us to be as a collective and as individuals, and truly going out and making a difference. So the last 2 years, we've been doing Explore Church. That's been the whole point of what we've been trying to do. And the crazy thing about a church plant, as you guys know, this is a church plant. The crazy thing about a church plant is, first of all, you got to find some people that come along and say, okay, I'll at least show up. And you guys have done that. And it's been awesome. But you go from trying to get people to show up to being able to go, okay, here's the vision. This is what we're trying to accomplish. And we've been doing that. You guys know our core values, man. We have this whole thing about community, because we recognize until people come in and find family, find relationships, until they have a place where they feel like they're loved, they don't experience love or can express love. And so we've been working on community. How do we do community? How do we make it where it's really easy for somebody that needs to step into relationships can make those opportunities happen for them? And we've been working on discipleship and putting stuff together in our Forge groups and, you know, small groups and one-on-one discipleship. And we're doing that, and those things are there, and those things are happening. We've been working on the training. We got the November thing that's coming up here with the training weekend. And people have been stepping into leadership in different areas where they feel called to, not just fulfilling a role, but actually stepping into the areas that they are gifted in. And we've been sending. We got the skeleton. It's not all fleshed out. But we got the skeleton. It's there. The structure is there. Things are happening. And God has blessed us over this last 2 years to be able to get that far. And now what's really cool is there's a bunch of you that are stepping up going, I think I could lead that. I think I could step in, and I think I could really make something happen with that. And I think that's the way God has wired me, and I could organize that thing. And there's leadership now stepping into it, and it's no longer just me and Sasha and Chris, and which is important, because here's the reality. If we are to have a healthy church in Missoula that changes this community, I can't do it. I can't do it. Me and Sasha can't do it. To be honest, just us as a collective can't do it. It's going to take a whole lot more folks. It's going to take some people that step up and risk. It's going to take a lot of us that can step in and go, okay, I think this is what God's called me to. The reality is we have to realize, in order for change to happen, it doesn't just happen with a personality. It happens. It happens because people's lives have been changed. And it's been shown, and it's being lived out And people recognize it and they experience it. For us to have a church that is healthy, to be honest, what I see in the future is I would love to, within the next 5 years, to see us have our own place in the community that's not just used for Sunday service, but is used all week long. That is used as a place that is a third place gathering, so the community is coming in and longing to be part of it. But it's also a connection area where we can have people come in. We can do all sorts of different outreaches and events, being able to meet people where they're at, whether it's in marriages, whether it's in families, whether it's in finances, being able to help people through those issues, being able to help establish and send people out as they begin new works around us, new nonprofits, of being able to minister in other ways that normally the church can't affect. Being able to have a place where we can actually impact the community around us. A place that, and this is what's wild to me, because there's not much of this around here in Montana, let alone Missoula. A place where we can actually bring in people, and college students can come in and they can do a year Bible training as they get ready to go into ministry, if that's what God's calling them to, or just to have a solid foundation in the scriptures to be able to live out life. That we would have a place where we'd have interns that come in and learn how to get into ministry and even go out and plant other churches. Or maybe even go overseas and do ministry. That we would be a sending center. A place where our community could come in and feel loved and be connected and things would be happening. Have a coffee shop bakery where the folks can come in and just hang and be and meet other believers and actually just see God do incredible things. To be able to see the opportunities that we already have established in greater ways. Man, when you go on connect groups, we got so many different connect groups, and there's beautiful opportunities for people in our community to come and just hang out, go on hikes, go fishing, go hang out with them. Well, we had game night the other day at my house, and we had 10 guys over there all playing games. I don't think we had a single gal come, did we?
Wife.
Just my wife. And she won half the games. I don't know what that's about. Something's weird there. But anyways, actually, she's a pretty good player. So there's all these things that are there. And I don't know about you guys, but I can taste it. And what's nuts about it is when I see the big picture, it gets me excited. And then I go, oh, that's so much work. That is so big. That is, I start looking around at buildings around us. And it's like, even to come close, we're looking at, with all the construction that we have in this group, we're probably looking at $2 to $3 million. And my heart just goes, how in the world do we come up with $2 to $3 million? There's a lot that has to be done. The other day, Sasha was over on the East Coast. She's a trustee for our International Mission Board. So she was meeting with all the different trustees around the states and talking about missions and all the different things. And her and another gal started praying. Hopefully I don't cry. And I was cutting firewood. And I remember exactly when it was, because Noah was going to show up and help me. And I was a little early, and so it was about 10 minutes before Noah showed up. And I was cutting firewood, and I was just doing my devotions, thinking about, God, this is an impossible task you're asking me to do. I just got overwhelmed with his peace. And it's like, Mark, you've already done all of it. I'm just asking you to do what you've done through your whole life now all together at once. And he's right. I stopped and went, what are you? You have given me experience in missions. You have given me experience in doing, Bible schools and sending people out and training. You have given me experience to see, third place gatherings happen in a youth center and all these things. You have helped me build a church before in the past. And you've done all these things in my life. And now you're asking me to put it all together in one package. This happened at the exact same time Sasha and this gal were praying for us. It was the Spirit moving. And to be in the midst of God's presence is so comforting. When I look at the circumstances, I go, oh, we can't do that. But to know that God is already doing it, then to come and start sharing it and start pulling leaders together going, this is what I'm thinking. We had a leaders gathering here 2 weeks ago. And 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago, as we all came together and we started talking about it, they all said, listen, we got to move. We got to move now. We need to do Sunday mornings. We need to move out of a church. We need to be in a more non-traditional area. And we need to be starting to minister to the congregation on whole. We got everything in structure. We got all of our stuff happening. We know what we're supposed to be doing, but it's time for us now to do it. It was unanimous across the board. It's like, all right. So it's time for us to move. So that's our big next step. We all agreed what we need to do is we need to find a place, and in this next 5 years, we're going to be doing Sunday mornings, and we're going to try to find a location that we can set up and have it for Sunday mornings and begin to reach our community. And during that 5 years, continue to spread this whole vision of what God wants to do and start stepping into leadership and seeing the places that we can minister and doing all these different things that God has already given us the structure to do. And within that next 5 years, our hope is to actually buy a location and build our church and build a center that would be ministering to the community. So, the big change right now is probably within the next couple months, we will be somewhere different and we'll be on Sunday mornings. That should be a little scary. But at the same time, it's what we need to do. One of our biggest things here has been, this is a huge blessing. The Nazarene Church has been so gracious to us and it's been so wonderful for us to be able to have a place to come and worship and do this stuff. But we've also realized that, boy, doing Sunday evenings is so difficult on people, especially people that have little kids. It's just really, it's really hard on them. And so everybody that's been coming are people that kind of have free schedules on Sunday evenings. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. So we have to move. And it's time for us to be able to step into it. It's going to be a sacrifice. There will be some people that doesn't work with their schedules. Some people it's going to be hard. But the reality is if we don't change, we're not going to be able to move forward to where God has us. And there is a hunger. And I don't think it's just in me. I think it's in many of you guys too. There's a hunger to see God move and change in Missoula. To see people come to know Christ, people to grow in Christ, people to find their place, and to change the world around us. To be able to be a part of that would be absolutely awesome. We don't need to be the biggest church. We just need to be a church that's healthy and doing what God has put before us. And that means we need to step forward. Father God, we come before you now. We thank you for your awesomeness and your presence. We thank you for the way that you work in our lives. We thank you that you reveal yourself. Father, we thank you that our salvation is secure in you, and yet at the same time, you dump your presence into us, that we get a taste of your glory, and Father, we long for it all the more. Lord, to see your hand at work, to see people's lives changed, to be able to wake up in the morning and know that we live this life on purpose is unbelievably a huge, huge blessing. And Father, I just ask, humbly ask, that you would work within this congregation, that you would work within this body that you've pulled together, that you would accomplish your will, that Father, that you would give us hindsight, that you would give us wisdom, that you would open up doors and you would shut doors, that you would direct us by your hand, and Father, for those that struggle, that you would reveal your hand, that people would see and understand that you know and you have it planned out and you got it. Father, we want to seek you at work. We want to see your kingdom first. And so, Father God, please direct us and guide us. Show us and lead us. Father God, thank you for the blessing that you've given us here. I ask that you would continue to bless the Nazarene, that you would bring the Nazarene church itself to a place that it would be healthy and that it would have a huge impact on Missoula. And Father, as you send us, Lord, I just ask that you would fill us with that hunger, that unquenchable desire of your presence to see you move. So we lay it all at your feet. In Jesus' name.